We continue our study in Hebrews chapter 12. Throughout the book of Hebrews, the writer has been trying to encourage the Jewish believers to abandon the Old Testament law in favor of Christ alone. Matter of fact, it's one of the songs we sometimes sing, right? In Christ alone, right? And so 11th chapter, the chapter we call the Hall of Faith, gave several examples saying, listen, these men endure to the end, and these women as well, you can do so also. The finish line sometimes may seem to be difficult, but you can do it. And so we talked about so great a cloud of witnesses that are watching us. Now, one of the things that the Lord challenged us to do in Luke chapter 14, he says, listen, no king goes out to fight another king. He has 10,000 to see if he can overcome the king with 20,000 troops. No man builds a tower unless he knows he has enough money to finish the tower. He said, you need to count the cost. If you're going to be my disciples, you need to take up your cross and follow me. And so that's exactly what he says. You know what the writer of Hebrews is trying to say. He says, are you in Christ or aren't you? If you're going to be in Christ, you follow him alone. You don't hold on to Old Testament law. You don't hold on to traditions and these other things, but you totally embrace Christ. So make the correct calculation. And of course, he comes, and this is sort of a conclusion to what he was saying in the 11th chapter, is in fact that consider Jesus Christ. He's our ultimate example. So in chapter 12, verse 3, he says, for consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. You have not yet resisted the bloodshed, striving against sin. Now the Hebrew Christians were looking backwards to Moses. They wanted to bring the law with them. You know, Paul said, listen, when you became a believer, became a new what? A new creature. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. And so you let go of those things which would hinder you and hold you back. You don't carry them into Christianity. And so they were dismayed that both Jewish worshipers and pagan Gentiles disdained them. A Jewish Christian was in a very socially awkward position because their fellow Jews didn't like them, and the Gentiles, the pagans, didn't like them. You know, the old 50s song, why is everybody's always picking on me? You know, it says, and so they were in a tough place, and that's one of the reasons why Paul took a collection up, because they're such a difficult place. He said, don't give up. Remember the last thing that Paul told the Galatians? He says, you will reap if you what? If you do not faint. You know, if you do not faint, you go ahead and you persevere. Now, Hebrews had given them a list of faithful saints to follow. And he talked about Abraham, and he talked about Moses, and he talked about these great Christians who had come before him, Gideon and Joshua. And so he says, some were persecuted and some were martyred, but all were faithful to the very end. And so, and that's why I had 1 Peter 4, as he said, don't think. Now, one of the great questions I think of the New Testament is in that passage. It says, why do you treat the fiery trials that come on you as if it's some strange thing? I mean, if we are in Christ, matter of fact, the Lord says in this word, you're going to have what? You have tribulation. He said we're going to. Well, why do you think it's strange if we have tribulation? I remember being in an evangelism conference, and the speaker actually was the head of Evantel, was up here in Baltimore. He says, why do you think it's a strange thing that pagans would act like pagans? Would you expect them to act any differently? You know, and so this is the same thing here. If the Lord says we're going to have trials, well, we're going to have trials. It's not a strange thing. And we will be opposed. And this should be a normal and also enabling thing, because we carry a vital message that the world does not want, but that the world needs. And so he turns and he says, now consider Jesus Christ. The word consider here, analogizathai, which is, this is the only time it's used in the whole Bible, you know. They use the word translated logizome is in consider, but analogizome, we get our word analog from it in the English. It means to calculate or add up, to sum up. He said, look at what the Lord has promised you. Look at what you're going to have to go through. Add it up, and you'll see the sum of it is greater following Christ than it's not following Christ. So add it up. Consider this. Weigh it carefully. It is a math term, to add up the sum. Compare Jesus to any other path of life. Have you ever done that? Have you ever considered all the other paths that life's offered? Anything compared to Jesus? Anything compared to his promises? Anything compared to his witnesses? You know, when Miss Bethany sitting there had asked me to do a study on prophecies of Jesus, I says, it's a little bit of a challenging study. Well, I only came up with 108 pages of the study, so there's a lot written. Consider the evidence that the Lord has for us, that compare him. Said, not only compare what Jesus offers, compare to what he did. He said that Jesus Christ got on a path that is not his own choosing. He wasn't a sinner. He didn't have to pay for his sins. Chose to take upon flesh to pay for our sins. He led a life of total perfection. He led a life of sinlessness. And he led a life of persecution. And he endured more, accomplished more, and delivered more than anyone else. He says, and he is our example. He endured all this for us. And not only did he endure it for us, he set the example for us to follow. Not that we can pay for sins, but said to self-sacrifice and serve the Lord. Whatever the Lord was given to Jesus Christ to do, he has things that he's given for us to do as followers of Jesus Christ. He says, whatever, if Jesus could endure what he did, then you also can endure what you've been given. Because the same God, the Father, who empowered Jesus, empowers us. Okay? And so he endured this. The word, we've seen this many times in the scripture, hupomenos, means to remain under. He remained under hostility for sinners. Now, we have to pause here. We have what's called a textual variant. In seminary, that means this is going to be a test question. There are two different readings for this. Both of them are very interesting. One in the singular and one in the plural. By the way, if it's singular and plural, that's the only two choices you have, right? And so one reading says, we have hostility of sinners opposed to him. In other words, sinners opposed to Jesus Christ. That's true. The other reading says this, the hostility of sinners who are opposing themselves. Kind of interesting. In other words, by opposing Jesus, you're actually opposing yourself. It's an interesting reading. In other words, if you don't follow Jesus, you're actually destroying yourself. You're taking the benefit that Jesus has for you, and we have a saying in our idioms, it's like shooting yourself in the foot, or cutting the nose off to spite your face. We have that. In other words, that reading would be that these sinners, not only are they opposing Jesus, but they oppose their own selves because they're actually going against their own benefit, their own interest. And so even though Christ suffered greatly, he gained more than he suffered if he stayed in safety. Remember that great scene in Matthew 26, if it's your will, let this cup pass from me, but not my will be done, but your will be done. And for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. And so, in other words, through the suffering, he gained a lot more than if he did not endure the suffering. Now, Jesus endured hostility. By the way, this is kind of interesting, which means that this would be also a test question, see, in seminary. The word endure is not in the past tense. That's what it is in your Bible. It's in the perfect tense. Are you supposed to go, ooh, no. What it means is he continued to endure. He didn't just endure once. He continued all the way through his ministry to endure. And so the word actually means I am enduring and continue. So Jesus didn't just endure the cross. He endured mockery. He endured deprivation. He endured ridicule. He endured trials. He endured everything. And so it's saying here, not only are we to endure, but we are to continue to endure to the very end. We're not to faint 20 yards before the finish line. We're to continue to endure. Christ took upon his task, continued to endure, and did not waver one moment in his task. So the endurance of the Christian faith must be a core value and consistent with our commitment. Now listen carefully. A lot of people believe in following Christ and serving Christ, doing what's right, but when it comes down to the testing, they falter and they faint. Because academic belief is not commitment. Until belief becomes full commitment, you're not going to carry through. It's like the captain who came up to a soldier and says, "Are you a brave soldier?" And he says, "I won't know till I get out there, sir." It's one thing to think in your mind what things would be. Over the years, I've been around quite a while, and we've seen people come through, right, that's raising money for missions and going. But then when they got there, it wasn't what they thought it would be. And they'd quit. And they'd come back off the field after raising the money, after, you know, getting the passport, after doing all this. You know, the Lord doesn't say, "I want you to hang in there if it's what you want." If it's what you was hoping it would be. I remember we'd take youth down to the soup kitchens. And they were surprised that the people in line weren't overly grateful and thanking them and everything else. Matter of fact, they were very demanding. He said, "What is this?" That's human nature. That's sinful nature. We're not here to get a thank you or to pat on the back or that people have been grateful. We're here to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, present the gospel of Jesus Christ, and cry out against sin and call to repentance. And so we are to be battered but not beaten. By focusing on Christ's example, we are told not to become weary. And the word here, weary, literally means worn out with labor. You know, we've seen that several times, have we not, in the New Testament? Don't be weary in what? Well doing. Don't wear out. You know. Now let me put this in perspective. You know, Moses says that man has been given 70 years, if by strength 80. Could you imagine doing this with Noah? 950 years? I see, we got pretty easy. when you take a look at that, Enoch, he was a youngster. He was taken up at 365. And so we've been given a race to run, not to be fatigued in our souls, weary in well-doing. We're to press on to the final finish line. This word, by the way, is also found over in James chapter 5 and verse 15, where it says not to be weary with sickness. You know, even when you're sick or ill, you know, not to become weary. You know, there must be fortitude of a soldier within us that drives us forward beyond our pain, beyond our persecution, beyond our own pessimism. Paul said it this way to the Corinthians. He said, listen, when I grew up, I put away what? Childish things. It's time to be true. And that's exactly what the Hebrews writer of Hebrews says in chapter 5. He says, by this time you should be teachers. But you're still, I can't get you meat. So many things I want to tell you. You're still stuck on milk. He says fortitude is one of the rare but necessary traits of serving the Lord. Bearing up, continuing forward, not quitting, not laying aside, pressing on to the mark. There must be fortitude if there's going to be effectiveness. A determination of will that continues forward despite temptation to quit. Christ laid out our path through suffering, that by example we are enabled and empowered to follow the same path. He says, I don't want you to be discouraged. Now, the word discouraged here is the word athomeo. No, that doesn't ring a bell. Okay. Athomeo means to lose your passion. Our word thumos comes from that, which means to heat up. It comes over to English as fume, as thermos, as thermometer, as thermal. If you're heated up, if you put an A in front of it, it means what? Well, you're cooled down. You've lost your passion. You lost your zeal for Christ. I'm not talking about jumping around and jumping pews and singing hallelujah and all the time and everything. I'm talking about that you're focused on the holiness of the Lord. You're focused on serving Him, of not giving up, even when others do. When you feel drained of all feelings and emotions, you must choose to continue on. The great coach, Vince Lombardi, said, fatigue makes coward of us all. And fatigue in the soul can make coward of us all. At that point, you draw upon the strength of Jesus Christ. I can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens me and continue on. I actually, bless her heart, had a little cadet last Thursday stand up and quote that verse in front of everyone. And I said, Philippians 4. And she just had this big smile on her face. I thought for a little girl in that group, what a great testimony. I couldn't do that as chaplain. I'd be proselytizing. But I'll let that little girl preach all she wants to. And so do not lose heart. Do not... There's a battle going on, not only between sin and holiness in you, but there's a battle between your emotion and your will, your desires and your duty. And you got to decide which one you're going to do. And Jesus is our example. And we need to move forward. We need not get disheartened. We need not lose passion. If you saw the movie Hacksaw Ridge, where you have a conscientious objector end up becoming a medic, and on Hacksaw Ridge in the Pacific, he was going around carrying wounded back to the cliff, the ridge, and putting them down. And after each one, he was just fatigued, ready to go, and says, "Lord, just one more, just one more." 75 men brought down and were saved. He won the Congressional Medal of Honor, not only for that action, but for other actions, as a medic. And he said, "Lord, just one more. Today's another day. I shall not be weary today in well-doing. I shall put on my armor and move forth as a soldier of Christ." And so Christ is that example of finishing well, finishing the faith in the face of extreme opposition and in the face of suffering. And he says, "Listen, you have not yet resisted unto bloodshed." He said, "Listen, there have been many who were martyred. You're still here. You haven't resisted yet to martyrdom." So in other words, your task isn't done yet. Not the fact that all our tasks are going to end in martyrdom, but the fact that you're here, you have something to do. It's not time to lay aside the calling that's been given to you. So we are here. We're still in the battle. We're still moving forward. We're following the footsteps of Jesus. There are many who have been martyred before us. We're not there yet. We're the ones here. You have an advantage they don't have right now because they're not here. You are. It's your time. It's your way. It's your calling to move forward. We are not to finish struggling or striving against sin. The word striving here is the word anagonizomai. We get our word antagonism from this word. Sin is your antagonist. And you better be the protagonist against your antagonist, which is your very own sin. And so not only is opposition a struggle without and within, but we're wrestling with our own sins in the whole process. There are enemies without and enemies within. We have three enemies: our own flesh, our own sin nature. We have the enemy of the world, the enemy of Satan and his minions. You have three allies. If you're in Christ, you have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. You have the Word of God, and you have the Church of Jesus Christ. And so we are to battle. Paul says, "Those things I want to do, I end up not doing those. And those things I don't want to do, I do those." And so who's going to deliver me from this body of death? And so he is struggling within. And even in the midst of discouragement and failures and opposition and setbacks, we have the power of Christ. It's not the struggles that are going to define you. It's your perseverance through the struggles. One of the things that is very important to understand is the fact that not only are we going to have struggles, but that is your battle. And we have a tendency to do this. We have to say, "I want to get out of this, Lord." Well, we need to change that. "I want to get out of this, Lord, what you want me to have so I can struggle with." Don't let the opportunity of the trials and persecution be shortchanged so it won't do the work it was sent to do. Our commitment needs to be unwavering and committed to persevere. During Hurricane Agnes, there's a lot of wind, a lot of rain. I was sort of settling down, so I decided I was going to go to college. I was finishing up at University of Maryland. I get on my bicycle. By the way, it ruined it. It just go on my bicycle to Tacoma Park to College Park. I'm going there, and the campus is closed. So I got my bicycle and I pedal back, and the water was up to the bridge. And I get home and I said, you know, I had to get there and close. I didn't hear any announcement about it and stuff like that. I turned on the television to learn that the soldiers, that the unknown soldiers were told, you don't have to go and do this today because of the hurricane. And they said, sir, we will be at our post today. We shall not give up that honor for anything. Are you at your post today? That you'll never give up. Till you yell, well done, my good and faithful servant. Amen. Let's pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege of being here. We thank you, Lord, for the calling you have on our lives. We thank you, Lord, that we are able, because of the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, to do the work you've called us to do. Help us to move forward in that. And if there's anyone here that does not know Jesus as Lord and Savior, that this will be the day of salvation for that person. If there's anyone here, anyone listening, that's wavering, wanting to give up, empower them, strengthen them to move forward. For we have not yet resisted the blood, that we might glorify your holy name and cross that finish line. As Jesus crossed his, for us in his name we pray, amen.